This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Jody Kielbasa joins me live in studio. He is the director of the Virginia Film Festival, which he finally put to bed just a few days ago. So you're sleeping now, is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Do you sleep at all when a film festival is going on? What's it like for the director of a festival when it's going on? Is it like working in the White House where you just go home and grab a quick nap?
I don't think it's anything like working in the White House, nor what I would in any way, shape, or form believe it's even close to that. But, you know, we do work a long day. I leave my home at 7 in the morning, and I come home at usually 2:30 in the morning. And
it's like third year of med school or something.
It's long hours. I mean, certainly for 5 straight days, it's long hours. And by the time you get home and unwind, it's maybe 3 a.m. And boy, you're back up at 6 and then out the door. It's certainly a long day, but it's rewarding. It's challenging. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. So give us the takeaways from the festival this year. What was the what were the final numbers?
Well, the numbers were extraordinary for us. We received we did $90,000 at the box office, which was an uptick of 25% over our previous high ever in the 23-year history of the Virginia Film Festival, and we had 23,750 people attend, which is, again, another 25% over last year's record, which was 19,000, and I believe the previous high prior to that had been 15,400. So those are great numbers, and more than anything, it's a testament to Charlottesville for people coming out and embracing the new direction of the film festival and coming out and seeing the films. I know there were some people that told me that they saw 14, 15 films in the 4 days of the festival. That's a lot of films.
We're talking with Jody Kielbasa of the Virginia Film Festival online at vafilm.org, I believe.
That's correct.
Yep. And
actually, it's virginiafilmfestival.org.
Virginiafilmfestival.org. Check out the website. It's a terrific new website. And what do you think accounts for not just an increase in numbers participating in the festival this year, but a big increase in numbers? Did you see more people like driving up from Richmond, or did we just see a lot more people right here at home turning out for it?
You know, I think we increased interest from Richmond. I think there's no question about that. We were getting a lot of calls from Richmond. But I think more than anything, I think it was people were ready for a change with the festival. They were ready to embrace the new direction without a theme and a more contemporary look to the festival. I mean, really, the vast majority of the films were films that were art house films, some of the very best films out on the festival circuit, those that came through our call for entries, and a few studio releases that really haven't hit theaters yet that there was tremendous interest in, like
Fair Game.
127 Hours, Fair Game, and our opening film, Black Swan, which was fascinating because I don't think I've ever walked out of a theater with such a polarized audience.
I was going to say, I heard from people who loved that, and I heard from people who said, no, that was
and nobody was in between. And I think maybe there were a few people that were maybe afraid to weigh in because they were afraid if they didn't like it. It was like the Emperor wore no clothes. You know,
like politics in America, you know?
But it was really, really fascinating to see that. And a great film to open the festival with because of that, because it got absolutely everybody talking during the whole festival about that film, which was great.
Now, did you see a film during the festival? Because I know you saw some films that you hadn't seen before.
I did. That's true. I saw Black Swan, and it was a discovery process for me, just like the audience. I had not been able to pre-screen that film, and somebody out there might say, well, how could you take that film? Well, it's opened up a lot of very prestigious film festivals, including the Venice Film Festival. It was a gala presentation at the Toronto Film Festival. It came highly recommended, and I think for that exact reason, it's a controversial film. I think that people are going to have very mixed feelings about it, as they did in the theater that evening, but it got everybody talking, and we were thrilled to be able to present it that evening.
Where did you personally fall on that? On the side of that chasm there, like or no likey?
I liked it. I'm not going to say that it's my favorite film of all time, but I liked it because it was in your face and it challenged me in the theater that evening.
Yeah.
And I like that. I mean, I certainly will remember that film one way or another. I'm not going to be 5 years thinking to myself, gosh, what was that about again?
Yeah. So, now, what else did you see that you hadn't seen before that really grabbed your attention?
Well, You know, I only sit through three films during the festival, so that's not really, I'm not sitting around watching the films during the festival. I had that opportunity to preview leading up to the festival. Yeah. So I can't say that there's anything else that I saw during the festival for the first time.
Right.
I sat through Happy Thank You More Please, but I actually saw that film and loved it at the Sundance Film Festival, where it also won the Audience Favorite Award. I take that back. I had not seen Don't Be Afraid of the Dark yet, and I saw that on Saturday.
That was the horror remake of the 70s classic, right?
Right.
That scared me as a kid.
Mark Johnson, who is producer of basically all of the Barry Levinson films and won the Academy Award for Rain Man and a producer of The Chronicles of Narnia, was in for that film as well. And, you know, there was tremendous interest in that film and an entirely different crowd, actually a very different crowd at a lot of our films during the festival. For instance, we screened Paul Wagner's Thoroughbred, and there was a lot of horse enthusiasts that were at that film, and that entire audience had a very different feel and a look than other audiences, like, for instance, the Del Toro film Don't Be Afraid of the Dark, or the Parking Lot movie, or several other films.
Which was sold out, by the way. Yes, I tried to get in there, and I couldn't get in.
One of 17 sellouts during the Virginia Film Festival this year, and we're very proud of that. In fact, Black Swan sold out 17 days before the festival, and immediately following that in the same theater, Culbert Theater, 582 seats, at 10 o'clock on Thursday night, we sold out 127 hours, and that was sold out like 2 days before too. So I think that, again, that's a wonderful thing, a wonderful thing for Charlottesville, that people were excited to see this program, and probably – you know, something I hope we're going to be able to, you know, continue in the future is that films will start to sell out in advance. People will really start to take a look at those films and choose their schedule early, because I think we're going to do that from now on with some of the best cinema that's out there.
We're talking with Jody Kielbasa, director of the Virginia Film Festival. I was on the downtown mall during the festival having a conversation with somebody, and they perfectly summed up what was my feeling of the whole festival. And she was saying, I love the fact that the festival is so much independent film and new movies that I haven't heard of that might not get into theaters in Charlottesville. This might be my only opportunity to see them. New exciting films that are gangbuster films at other film festivals around the world, and we get the opportunity to see these films on the big screen rather than, you know, and not to really criticize too much of the past, but rather than the film festival that we got used to, which was so many classics.
Right. Right.
That you could just go rent at Sneak Reviews or on Netflix.
Well,
and that and that for me sort of summed up my feeling about it as well.
And I think you're absolutely right. I think there's an important distinction in what we will be moving forward with the Virginia Film Festival is it's going to be a film festival that's comprised almost entirely of very new, very current, very contemporary cinema, the very best in film festivals and art house cinema and new films that nobody knows about in some cases or that you've heard about but have not made their way to Charlottesville yet or that might not ever make their way to Charlottesville. I mean, we had an incredibly strong lineup of foreign films that might not make their way into Charlottesville again. So it's a great opportunity to discover these films. And we will screen some classics, but there's going to be less of those because we have an ongoing series at the Paramount Theater called Virginia Film Festival at the Paramount.
So you can see the classics year-round.
Every Monday, we screen a classic film at the Paramount Theater in all the glory of an old movie palace in one of the most stunning theaters in the country. So we have that opportunity to screen up to 50 films a year in that venue during the year, so we don't have to spend as much time at the festival proper. So, you know, we did do a small sidebar of classic films called Six from 1960, which took a look at the 50th anniversary of a very important year in cinema. And that's probably what we'll do more so moving forward is choose a handful of films and have a specific reason as to why we want to visit those films during the festival. Maybe there's a classic, a print that's been struck, or it's a very important year, or we want to look at a specific director's career. That type of thing. And I think that makes more sense and there'll be more interest. And interestingly enough, the classic films that we did screen were very well attended this year, whereas in the past they've not been so.
Interesting. Now, aside from the fact that it's the year that is the first season of Mad Men, what was so special in film about 1960?
Well, I think it was a year where cinema was starting to change. There was almost a new wave coming out. We screened films like La Dolce Vita and Peeping Tom, and there was just a whole look. And I think that also just in and of itself, historically, you're leaving the 1950s and you're moving into a new decade that I'm marking in another way, actually, with the Center for Politics, and that each year we're taking a look at a year in the 1960s as we move forward in the calendar as well, marking the 50th anniversary of the Civil Rights or of Kennedy or important events that were marked during the 60s. And this year in and of itself was an important year of cinema because of this new wave coming through.
Let me ask you this. We're talking with Jody Kielbasa. Just in terms of directing a film festival, what was this experience like for you personally as compared to, you know, where you've been before? Because this was really the first opportunity you had to direct the festival that you scheduled and that you had really, overseen from the very beginning.
Sure. Well, it's my first time here in Charlottesville, and I had 10 years doing this elsewhere in Sarasota, Florida. But, you know, I got to say, of the 13 film festivals that I've been the director of, this was probably one of the more gratifying experiences for me. It was a more relaxed experience. I mean, to be quite honest, most film festivals, I tend to run around a lot, and you're sort of keeping all the balls up in the air and hoping it's not going to crash down on everybody's head. There's what I call hopefully controlled chaos during a film festival. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that things seem to go really well. Things seem to run smoothly. Certainly having a new box office downtown in the Main Street Arena, formerly the Charlottesville Ice Park, made things easier, having that hub of a festival headquarters there. But things seem to go really, really well. And I've gotten nothing so far but a really warm response from the community, people saying they enjoyed it, that they loved it. And obviously, people turned out in record numbers.
So nobody ran up to you with a clipboard and their hair on fire and said, oh, it's ruined. It's ruined. Jody, what do I do?
None of that. And you know, honestly, that never really happens. But I know when things don't go right. I'm aware of it. And we sort of, you know, glue things together and put up tape and everything and hold it all together. But I know whether it's going smoothly or not. But I got to say, this went really very smoothly from an operational standpoint. And certainly just so impressed with the way the community partnered with us on so many of the films, came out to support these films and to get involved with the festival this year, too, on every level.
Well, congratulations to you and your staff and the army of volunteers who make all of this possible. And again, we're very fortunate that you're here. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Coy.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.